Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, leaving a controlling or abusive relationship can be extremely difficult, something that Michael Porrick Acton knows all too well, not just because of his work as a psychologist, but because he's been there himself. His book is called Learning How to Leave, and he joins us now in News Talk. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon. It's nice to be here.
Now, as I understand it, your book stems from both professional and personal experiences. So perhaps could you tell us a little bit about how you came to realise that you were in a toxic relationship?
you don't mess around with time, do you, Sean? It was a pattern over years and years and years. I was working clinically with relationship trauma and family trauma, and I was repeating patterns in my own life, and I was giving these people advice and they're coming to see me, and then all of a sudden I just woke up and smelt the coffee one day and thought, you know what, I need to do it differently.
And was there anything, you know, was there a kind of an epiphany where you kind of suddenly realized the situation you were in?
There was. I was explaining to it's in the one of the case studies in the books. I was explaining to a girl that you know, this has been going on and on, you keep on going back and you're doing this, that and the other. And I was sitting there and I didn't show it to her, but in my clinic office, I was thinking, this is me. I saw myself clearly in a mirror, and it took me years to do that. I mean, I'm happily married now, settled down and everything's good in life. But this pattern I repeated for a couple of decades.
And this, I imagine, is not an uncommon thing for people. Why does that happen? Is it a sense of denial, perhaps, that people can't quite metabolize the idea that this relationship may have gone wrong?
Well, it's all abusers, whether they're narcissistic or just toxic people, they will sweep you off your feet first. They make you feel special. They make everything feel really, really lovely. And once they have you hooked, once you fall in love with them, that's when they start to abuse you. That's when they start to replicate fears. That's when they start to demean you. They might say things, and it's just chip, 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 chip. So it's a very slow process, but it's one that really taps into our own insecurities. So for instance, if we're fearful of being lonely, or fearful of not being able to pay the bills, or fearful of something, doesn't matter what wealth category or education category, whatever your fear is, they'll smell it and use that against you.
Mm. What do they fear? Do you have any insight into what their motivation is?
Now, this is the interesting thing. Usually toxic abusers are very insecure. They have a very little sense of self. And they feed off of kind people. They feed off of people where they can feel better about themselves, where they can actually build up the image of themselves as being wonderful and charming to the world. But in their intimate relationships, whether it's parental intimate relationships, children, or your intimate partner, they will abuse you, they will actually put you down to build themselves up.
Mm. And in a clinical setting, is it possible to address that? Or does the abuser need to accept primarily that they are abusing someone?
Well, the book I wrote, Learning How to Leave, Power of You series, is all about us looking at ourselves. Because if a person is going to change, you asked me just a little while ago, my epiphany, if a person is going to change and they're a toxic abuser, they have to reach that point of epiphany. We have to change ourselves in a relationship to either leave or adapt to circumstances.
You do write a lot about codependent relationships. What is a codependent relationship in the unhealthy sense, given that I assume all relationships are codependent to some degree?
They are. You're quite correct. Codependency in a bad sense is when we're in a relationship that's imbalanced and in fear. There's always a fear element. If I can't leave because, or I can't do that because, or yeah, you're quite right. I give an example when I'm interviewed about if your partner breaks a cup in the kitchen, drops it on the floor and it breaks, you run along and apologize and clear up the cup. You're with a toxic. They don't help you.
So if one finds oneself in that situation, even if you've had the epiphany, leaving it must be a tricky prospect, given that that other person knows how to push every single one of your buttons. They know how to pull your levers and they know how to make you feel bad about yourself. So it's summoning up the self-courage to be able to stick up for yourself, extremely difficult.
If you have listeners listening to your show now and they're thinking, oh, do you know, I recognize some of this stuff, you know, this could be me, be safe. Only leave safely. Or the first step would be to, if you have a friend that you really trust, it's not part of your friendship circle with your partner or with your mother or with your sister, whoever it is that's the toxic person. If you sense that they can be trusted, talk to them. Say, I just need 15 minutes of your time. I need to run this by you. If you don't have that safe person, there are helplines in Ireland that are free of charge. You can call and talk it out with somebody first, because not all relationships are toxic. All relationships have bad times in them. But a toxic relationship, which is dangerous, and unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of people a year die because of toxic relationships. They either take their own lives or eventually they're murdered by their partner. So if you're in that situation, be safe. Don't all of a sudden go, oh, knee-jerk reaction. Be safe and think, who can I talk to? Who could I talk this out with? Just to check out this is where I am, and then work out a safe way to leave.
Yeah, and once one has left, or you're going through the process of leaving, do you have to kind of accept that the abusive partner will never accept your reasons for leaving?
Now, if they're a narcissist, or really abusive, they're only done when they're done. They will hunt you. They will stalk you. They will find ways of trying to hook you back, even if they've moved on to another feeder. So they are parasites. Even if they've found somebody to replace you and you've left, they are not done until they're done. So be careful. Social media, be careful. Who you talk to, be careful. Don't look at Snapchat, don't look at the photographs and WhatsApp. If they change and block them, if you're really going to unhook, and that's the biggest thing I have trouble with people, if they have left on working with them, sometimes they go, oh, well, you know, and I say, well, were you in love with the hope of the relationship or in love with actually how the relationship was? And I have to keep pulling them back to, why did you leave? What was bad about that? And what is your next step? But it's like being an alcoholic or a drug dependent person. It's a drug. They drip feed you and drip feed you and drip feed you. And you think you can't survive without them. Oh, well, they had a bad childhood. Oh, they had that or whatever. No, you have to really stand strong once you've left. And you know, again, a couple of case studies in the book show you that struggle where, you know, they've left and they go back for a period of time. They leave again. It's almost like a yo-yo. But the one thing we have to do is make sure we're safe physically, because people do die from suicide. People do get murdered. But the worst case is when people live emotionally dead, when they because the first thing an abuser does is isolate you. They start ridiculing your friends, they start not going out to certain places. And it's a very lonely war too, Sean, because they isolate you, but also they take everything from you. There's not a lot left. You can't look forward to something because it'd be dashed. So it's a very lonely, sad, difficult, even dangerous place.
So so often it mightn't be just a matter of leaving and remaining left, so to speak, but you might have to change the circumstances of your life quite radically to get beyond their clutches.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the biggest thing, that's why I say it's very good to speak with a confidant, somebody you really feel can be helpful and supportive. And if that doesn't happen because you've been isolated, then talk to a helpline, talk to somebody that really knows what you, and even a counsellor, only go to a counsellor that's experienced in relationships. Don't go to a counsellor because they won't know the patterns and the addiction of this kind of relationship. You really need to talk it through with somebody, and you have to keep on understanding it. But also when you have left and they throw a ball at you, you can catch it, but you don't have to throw it back. You don't have to respond to them. You don't have to be fearful about what they can do to you anymore.
The book is called Learning How to Leave, A Practical Guide to Stepping Away from Toxic and Narcissistic Relationships. Michael Porrick Acton, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.